Logoria.
This is Logoria, the arts and entertainment podcast for the Carmel and Cream of Union University. This is Corey.
And I'm Katie.
And I'm Liz.
Let's all have a moment of silence for Clark, for who is not able to be with us today.
Yeah. I'm very good at moments of silence. Yeah.
Okay, you both, I was wondering because both of you said, when I said that, so I thought that was maybe a miscommunication.
He's not actually gone.
He would say, like, if it was one of us, he would say that we were gone. He would, like, gone, like he would imply
that we
were dead.
I mean, last week we did hypothesize that the two of you had died, and that if one of us was dead next week, that it was from the same. We thought somebody was tracking us down one by one on the podcast.
I mean, that could, makes still, sense. That could still be happening.
It could still be happening.
But I mean, that's what I'm saying, is now he's gone, so.
Corey, were you not here either? Oh, glad to have you back.
Glad to have you back, Liz.
Thank you.
And most importantly, glad to have you back, Katie.
Ah, thank you.
Yes.
With that, let's move into our movie section of Logoria. So, what have you guys been watching movie-wise?
Ah, in honor of the Oscars, I'm going to talk about Black Klansman. I'm actually not sure if I should say Black KKK Klansman or Black K Klansman or Black Klansman. I don't actually know.
Or Black Klansman?
Yeah, that's also an option. There's a lot of options. I usually just go Black KKK Klansman because there's another movie called Black Klansman.
Oh, no. Oh. So this one is Black and the first K of the K of Black is the first K.
The first K of KKK.
There's an extra K and then there's the K of Klan.
And yes. Man.
Okay.
Yes. Wow. It's very creative.
Thanks, choose Spike Black Lee. K Klansman.
Black K Klansman. Okay, it's what we're going to go with for today's show. Have you guys seen Black K Klansman?
No.
No? Oh, wow, it's so exciting. Great movie. I was actually very hopeful that it would win the Oscar for this year. I also know that The Favorite was a favorite of many people. I've also seen a lot of controversy with The Green Room. I don't know. Or not The Green Room.
Green Book?
Green Book. Green Room. Very different movie. Maybe I'll talk about that a different week. Anarchy. So, yeah, I'd heard some controversy with that. I haven't seen The Green Book. From what I've heard, though, it... I wasn't too pleased the fact that it won, but I will tell you about...
Oh, so Green Book is what won.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, for everyone who doesn't know, Green Book won the Oscar. The Favorite was also up for an Oscar, and so was Black KKKlansman.
I've never heard of any of these until just now.
Well, okay.
We talked a little bit about them before.
That's all right. I'll talk about Black KKKlansman now, officially. So... the movie is about a man who joins the police force, African-American. He's the only African-American on the police force. And he gets something like in the mail. Somehow he ends up with somebody's number that's in the KKK. And so he calls them and just starts talking to them quite often until he gets to the point that the guy wants to meet him in person so that he can join the KKK.
Oh,
and
no.
So he goes to his Jewish coworker, who's portrayed by Adam Driver, which I'm sure you all will remember is Kylo Ren in Star Wars. So goes to him and he says, hey, will you pretend to be me undercover in order to pull this off? And so the reason that they were doing this is because they were trying to find... information about burnings and other terrible things the KKK was doing so that they could stop it before it happened. And so that was the whole point of the movie. I thought it was very well done. It was very thought-provoking. It had a lot of very intentional introductions to the movie. It starts with, like, this... scene from Gone with the Wind that has a lot of racial tension. It goes to like this angry rant by Alec Baldwin, which seems very reminiscent of like a modern day Alex Jones kind of a rant about like conspiracies, but this is specifically about black men raping white women as part of it. This conspiracy that's happening, and it's just very nonsensical. And you see him like spiraling, and he's like trying to do this recording, but he keeps saying the wrong thing, and he'll just start yelling and rambling. And it was very intense beginning, but great movie, so fascinating. You should all see it. I would highly recommend. Thank you for your excitement.
I don't know. It's deep. It's tough looking. I'm not like, yeah, I gotta see it. It's more like a man. I should probably see that for my formation.
It is actually. It's fun to watch too.
It's entertaining.
The guy who played Eric Foreman in That 70s Show plays David Duke, who's like the man in charge of the KKK, and it just is kind of funny because he's not exactly an intelligent guy. It oscillates between like very serious moments and then like very not serious moments.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So there's some comedic relief to take the edge off of all of the lynchings and very high tension of the era.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So give it a watch, guys. BlacKkKlansman, where can we find that?
Redbox. I think that's how I watched it. I watched it at the end of last semester, though. So I'm sure it's still on Redbox.
You think it's on any streaming services?
Not that I know of.
Okay. All right, Redbox it. Liz, what do you got?
2 weekends ago at SEJC for Cornell and Cream.
Southeast Journalism Conference, for those of you not in the know.
We watched, instead of going to conferences, we watched Never Been Kissed, the 1999 film with Drew Barrymore, which after Katie talked about her movie, I was like, mine is not nearly as poignant.
Profound.
Thought-provoking.
They're very different genres.
Very different genres.
Hey, we need all types.
We do. We do. So
this
after
is an
you...
arts and entertainment podcast, after all.
This is just sheer entertainment, if you can even call it that. I kind of put it up there with, like, LOL starring Miley Cyrus, in terms of, like, why and what and how did this even become a thing. But, you know, it's one of those that, like, if you want it, because I find enjoyment in sitting down and watching, like, really bad movies sometimes, just for the point of, like...
Oh, is it a really bad movie?
I mean, I just didn't understand. There was so much happening that I was like, why? And it was like it was the most tropey, like cookie cutter high school costume party, but it's also prom, coming of age, but like, it's so funny. But in a very, there's one slight twist, which is this journalist goes into high school and pretends to be a high school student, but really she's a journalist. They're like,
oh, is that Drew Barrymore?
Yeah, Drew Barrymore. Is the journalist, and then she falls in love with like an English teacher or something,
which seems very creepy. Does it not?
So wait, she's pretending to be a student.
Yeah, she's pretending to be a student, and then that's what flipped me out though is that, you know,
yeah,
she was like kind of a student question mark, and like I was.
Don't tell me.
I mean, spoiler alert. Yeah, I can't tell you what happens, but it was really interesting. But it was like also funny. It was just that like it really reminded me a lot of a Cinderella story with Hilary Duff, and also kind of like Mean Girls or something. I don't know. But if you just need a good movie that's not going to challenge your brain, like after you watch BlacKkKlansman, and you need like a breather.
Yeah. And you want to watch and judge a weird, creepy English teacher.
Yeah, judge it. Like something that's going to require very, very, very little brain power from you to like absorb, then do that. But if you're feeling irritable, don't watch it because it'll probably make it worse. But.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what I look for in all of my rom-coms. What's going to irritate me when I'm already irritated?
Oh, wow. Okay, so like I said, it just leaves me. Before we move on, how can we watch that?
Pretty sure it's on Hulu, I want to say. It might be on Netflix. I mean,
Drew Barrymore, she's pretty A-list.
Yeah, it's made 20 years ago, so you know. You can find it somewhere, and I'm sure you can not illegally stream it.
I was going to say.
Anywhere, yeah. Probably YouTube, in all honesty.
The whole movie.
The whole movie.
So I watched The Invitation. I watched it as sort of a get-together, I think, over J-term. And it was, it's sort of a thriller sort of deal. And basically, and this isn't, I don't think, a spoiler at all. I think it's in the synopsis that they give on Netflix. It's on Netflix, by the way. It is an invitation to a cult, essentially. And basically, there's a dinner party, and this couple is invited. And the couple has a background with, like, the guy in the couple is the ex-husband of the woman who was hosting the dinner party. So the whole time, like, at the very beginning, they're like, well, we don't have to go, you know. But he's like, nah, we're going to do this. It's fine. And there's, like, all this tension. And it's super creepy. In terms of thriller sort of movies, it's one of those ones that is slower at the beginning, but there's drama to fill that void, right? Because, like I said, the whole tension between, like, we had a history and now I'm at your dinner party. And me personally, would I have gone? A big fat no. But, hey, that's your thing. Then do it.
If you like
going, if you like going to dinner parties of your exes, then
that's not the part I was thought you were referring to.
No.
I've seen this movie.
What did you think about the movie?
I only remember two parts very well. And one is in the middle and one is at the very end.
Well, we can't talk about those.
We can talk about this because it's a family-friendly podcast.
Is the movie is much less family-friendly.
I'm making it sound a lot wild.
Yeah, like, I'm just, my imagination, man, I have no idea.
It has some twists and stuff like that.
Are they,
that,
like,
if that's
playing, like, Truth and Dare or something? I don't even remember.
Are we talking, like, rated
R?
Yeah,
they were playing basically one of the parts of, not rated R, right? It's not rated R. It's just, like, PG-13 with the emphasis on the...
On the over
13. Okay. But there is one part where they're playing Never Have I Ever, which is already cringy at this age.
Right, because they're like adults.
They're like adults with careers and stuff like that. But
which is not to say, I mean, I guess if you want to do that, go for it. But
no,
at this point,
it wasn't Never Have I Ever. It was worse than that. It was like I Wish or something. Because it was like I wish somebody would kiss me
At this point, if you want to just start a middle-aged orgy, just start that. Okay?
Don't set it up with
that kind of...
That is not I will spoil that. That is not what happens. That's not what we're
talking about. I was like, what is...
Anyway.
It flirts with the idea that it could happen.
The movie gets a little, it starts to be a lot, as I like to say, in that area of the movie. But if you're interested in sort of a thriller, there's some action and stuff like that at the end. It's culty and it's like creepy the whole time. And it gets pretty intense towards the end, right?
I'll
after
say.
That part that Katie's talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, the end is so wild. I'd say actually
but not
that,
in a heavily sexual way.
No. The end is shocking.
Yeah.
And I think it was the best 5 minutes of the whole movie.
I mean, yeah.
Five minutes.
Like. It was actually more like 2 minutes. I don't know.
So basically The Hunger Games.
But with that.
They're Mockingjay Part 1.
Like I said, it's on Netflix if you want to watch The Invitation.
I did too.
So we're going to move on to our TV shows. And I'm actually going to start this one.
Go for it.
So I'm talking about The Umbrella Academy.
Whoa.
This show, I've heard about it because it was recommended on Netflix.
Yep.
And I decided to give it a look because I saw that there were powers in it. And I love it. I love a good superhero action-y sort of drama type deal. So I have watched it. I watched it all in like a night or two nights. And it was pretty good. I think that they're like hour-long episodes. Episodes are pretty long and not like an hour as in like... 45 minutes is basically an hour. No, these are like 59-minute episodes.
Yes.
And it's based off of a comic that was a single run, maybe. But the concept of the movie is, or of the TV show, is that there were these women. There are 43 women worldwide that were not pregnant, but then all of a sudden they had a baby. And it's not that they didn't know they were pregnant. They just had a baby. And I mean, like, you wake up one day as a woman and you're just walking, and then all of a sudden you're at Walmart and you have a baby. Super weird, right?
Like, when you say have a baby, do you mean like birth a baby?
They birth a baby. It's not they're all of a sudden pregnant. They like go from not being pregnant, just
like
sitting,
go into labor.
If all of a sudden you went into labor right now and a baby popped out of you, that would be what happened to 43 women across the world in this show.
Okay.
I was very confused when I was watching it because I didn't understand what I thought. I had just missed something the whole time.
Nope. Just like not pregnant at all, have a baby. And they're like, this is weird. So there's this wealthy guy, super like eccentric billionaire who like has like a flying car or some craziness. He decides he wants to adopt as many of these kids as possible because he's like, I know they're special. And he adopts 7 of them, and they ended up being the Umbrella Academy. Basically, he just, I guess based off intuition or whatever, he knew that they had superpowers, so he wants to do this Charles Xavier thing and raise them. And he raises them from a very young age, very strict disciplinarian and everything. He raises them to use their powers because he's like, you guys are going to save the world one day. And in the show, so like each of them has powers except one of them, number 7, who was just ordinary. And the show goes on about like after basically they had all moved out of the house as they became adults. And the first episode centers around the father dying and they all have to come back to sort of settle things and things like that. And it's a pretty solid show. I like it. There are a lot of problems with it that I think all fall under the category of a very rushed plot, right? There are parts of the show that could have been like a season of its own. There are parts of the characters have solid development. Some characters have a lot of development. Some characters have almost none. It's very easy to have favorite characters and characters that you hate.
Gotcha.
It's to me, it barely satisfies the type of person who's looking for a lot of action and superpowers and flashiness and stuff like that. Like, this is an X-Men, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they have the powers, but they talk about them, but it's not, like, a ton of fights and action. And
so you don't get to see them, like, showcase their powers
very
much?
Yeah, I mean,
their powers are very unique.
Yeah, they're not, like, all right, super strength, flying, super speed. It's like they're more, I don't know, niche than that.
It seems to me like almost like a more...
like a prodigy kind of?
No, it's like, so for instance, I don't think this is a spoiler. Yeah. One of the girls has a woman, / she used to be a girl at some points. Yeah, anyway.
There's a lot of flashbacks and future flashes and all that stuff.
She can manipulate reality, but she has to say I heard a rumor in order to do that,
which is a very niche thing. It can be very powerful, right? You can go to the president and say I heard a rumor that you declared war on North Korea. Right, is that something that she can do, and then the president would do that thing? But it's like a mind control thing because she has to say it to someone. And also she has to say I heard a rumor that you did this thing.
Which also, like, how did that start? She was, like, talking to one of her friends. She was like, I heard a rumor. And then they this whole time thought she had no powers.
How did you discover
that? And then she was like, I heard a rumor that the sky fell. Ha, ha, ha. So, and then she's like, oh, no, I didn't know what just happened. Yeah. And they're like,
so, like, Ella Enchanted?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly like that.
Okay. So it's where, like, that's a perfect example of, like, how it's, like, very niche. And even that power, you don't see it used, but I could probably count the 3 or 4 times you see it in the show. So it's not like a lot of high action and high energy. It's more dramatic to me than it is action-y. And Katie's seen it too, so I mean, I feel like that's an accurate.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, I like it for that reason, that it's sort of more based around. It seems just more unique, and I like that. I like that it's sort of.
So it's, like, more story-driven than, like, action-driven?
So it's cool. I am a very heavy critic of shows based on their plot and the pacing of it, and was that expected of that character, or did you have nothing that you wrote that really made me believe that this was going to happen? Like, it has to be, to me, treated very carefully. Mm-hmm. There are aspects of this show that do that, and then there are aspects that do not, and I just feel like overall, this show, and there's a lot of tensions that are not resolved, but they also wrote this season of the show as if there would be more, right? It's definitely leaves you on the cliffhanger. It's to be continued sort of deal. So I'll give it a pass in that it isn't finished, but if that was supposed to be the end, or if they don't come back and resolve these things or address these issues, I'll have much more of a problem with it.
Gotcha.
So it has like a tentative maybe 7.2, somewhere between 6.7 and 7.2 on the Corey scale.
Yeah.
But
very it can definitely
tend to be... It could definitely end on like a 5 or 4 if they don't come back to those things.
Gotcha. He docks kind of like when you watch a gymnastics routine.
Yeah.
That's very similar. I've seen him do it. He has a card sheet. It's very specific.
Yeah. You have to stick the landing. Yeah. So they're still in the air right now.
They're still in the air. Yeah. You got a lot of loose ends to tie up, you know?
I'm excited. I'm not all the way through. And so where I'm at, I really like the ways that they're building drama and the intrigue. And so... I'm interested to see what happens.
Yeah. It's cool watching the relationships of the siblings who were all adopted from across the world and have powers. Mm-hmm. It's a completely crazy concept. So
yeah. And they're
it
all
is.
Very,
it's something new.
Yeah. And they're all very unique. They've handled everything in very different ways and they've all split apart, and it's very interesting.
So with that, and like I said, you can watch this. It's a Netflix original, so Netflix. But Liz, what do you have for us today?
I have not watched any shows recently, and the reason is because I have been reading a book.
A book?
A book called All the Light We Cannot See by Anthony Doerr. You may have heard of it. It won a Pulitzer. It is phenomenal, and I almost hope that they do not make it into a movie, because they will ruin it, and there's no way to do it as good as it was done in the book. So
not even if it's like a very long movie?
I don't think so, no. And the reason is because it switches perspectives. And a lot of people did not like that about the book.
I love books that do that.
I love books that do that, too. And I wrote a book that does that on side note. And
a little plug there.
Yes, just self-advertising. But just kidding, it's garbage. But I really, really like it because it's very short. It's super, like, the segments, different, like, switching from point of view is very, like, short little... sections, kind of. You only get like 2 or 3 pages, and then it's like page break. And some of them are even like one page of what Marie Larrey, the girl, is doing versus what Werner, the boy, is
doing. So what overall is All the Light You Cannot See about?
It takes place during the German occupation of France in World War II. And
my favorite.
Right. Cheery. And Marie Larrey and Werner are the two main characters. She is you kind of see her grow up. She's blind. And her father is the locksmith of the Natural History Museum of Paris. And he carries with him the most valuable stone in the entire universe. And Werner is a German child soldier. So he gets recruited into the Hitler Academy for Youth when he's like 13.
So like actual child soldier.
Yeah, like actual child soldier. Wow. And then he grows up being in this, he grows up being like desensitized basically. And, he and Marie Larrey's paths end up kind of intertwining. And it's very, very interesting. And I like it because, I like it for so many reasons. The writing is just beautiful. Like the poetry of the book is very like it's I've never seen it done before, and I've never seen it done so well. It's kind of short and choppy sentences, but they don't leave you hanging. Like, it leaves you, each sentence is something that you can like take away and like really mull over and like really chew on and be like, holy moly, like there's so much just in this one like 6-word sentence. But I also just really like it because it's not like we've all heard the World War II stories, like, not to degrade World War II, but like we've all heard these like different war stories and stuff like this, and especially like about German soldiers falling in love with civilians, like Guernsey Literary Potato Peel Pie Society. So stuff like that. But it's done so differently, and the war is, while it is the setting of the story, it's not, like, the gore of the war and all of that isn't what catches your attention. That's not what keeps you reading. It isn't the, that's not the suspense. Like, the people are the suspense. And he doesn't focus on this kind of, like, gory world like you think that he would or is going to. It's really all about the people.
Okay. So it's not like the gritty war story as much as it is the behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's things that like I never thought about, just day-to-day living with the Germans there. And like
I always find those interesting. I saw a movie once that was that had to do with some of the like the French citizens and like the city
and like the radios.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, it kind of centers around like the radio and it's like, you know, how they go from having their normal everyday lives. It's kind of scary because it kind of feels a little bit like we're entering into that again, but like how they go from their everyday lives to like kind of hearing rumors of a war. And then, you know, all of a sudden they're dealing with people like getting shot in their living rooms as they're on their way to the bakery, you know, like it's just very like in your face, but not in the way that you think it's gonna be, which is what is almost kind of more chilling.
Yeah.
This week, I'm talking about You.
You heard that right, guys. We're coming for you, finally.
Yeah, just for you. Okay, no, I know it's confusing. It's a TV show called You on Netflix. I do not like it. To be fair, I liked it when I first watched it. And then I realized that when other people watch it, they start to kind of like the guy. And I don't like that. And it bothers me. So I've revoked my liking because I think it is maybe dangerous to encourage us to sympathize with the stalker murderer man. That's my hot take for today.
I see what you mean. I like it for that reason, and let me explain. Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite...
your opinion as a man, but you can keep talking. Oh.
That is so funny. So one of my favorite like internet quotes or whatever is people always try to say people like Hitler are monsters, right? They're inhuman. They're just like whatever. And I think the important, and somebody commented on this, you know, statement, they were like, well, I think it's important to recognize that he was a human and that it was a human that did this, and there's not like a, and you could say, well, he had this mental whatever or something like that. But it's like, no, this is like a regular person who did this thing. And I think it's important, and I was talking to Liz about this with Joe's character. He's just a guy. He just seems like a regular guy and he does this. He's not ugly. He's not like, you know, this really creepy acting person in general. But if you get in his head, of course, I mean, he is, and it's very bad. But it's like a regular person. I think it shows people, or it's supposed to show people.
Like
maybe.
Ted Bundy, question mark?
Yeah.
It's supposed to show you that this is a real thing that can happen, and it's not just a Hunchback of Notre Dame who is going to be evil or whatever.
Okay.
Well, no, I'm saying the way, like, people think, like,
they're thinking
like
Richard
that.
III, like mulling around, being like, now it's the winter.
Yeah, it's like,
I know, but the Hunchback of Notre Dame is not actually the villain.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think people think.
Let's imagine a film from the perspective of Hitler, in which you hear Hitler's inner monologue the entire time, and you're kind of. Like, the way that the show is working is that it kind of shows Hitler as the protagonist of the story. And then people are not given an explicit sort of encouragement to not like Hitler.
So you think what's going on in you?
I don't think that should be... I don't think that's necessary. I feel like you should see the stuff he's doing and think it's bad. Like with
but
me,
people don't.
I heard his voice and I thought the stuff he was doing was bad.
I don't think that's a problem with the show. Like
well,
if I have a show,
I just don't think it's formative in a positive way.
I mean,
which
that's
is
a
why
fair
I
argument.
Said
that's
that
a
I,
fair
which
argument.
Is why I said that I liked it and then I said that I don't like it anymore. Because when I liked it, I was like, oh, this is creative. But then I realized that maybe it was dangerous.
How did nobody know that he... How did nobody realize within the first 20 seconds of the show that he was the bad guy? Well, that voiceover, that Young and the Restless kind of crap that's going on of like, I can't stand Daisy. She makes, you know, like.
I thought it was creepy.
It was
very creepy.
It was excessively creepy to the point of me being like, hey, I'm going to turn this. Like, my roommate was watching it, and I hope to the Lord that she does not hear this podcast. But I, like, she was watching it, and while she was watching it, I wanted to be like, can you please, like, for the love of all things holy, turn that off? Because A, garbage in terms of how it was written. B, just garbage in general. C, it just, wow, sorry, I totally took this over.
Liz has a lot of opinions on this.
I really do, and I can honestly tell everyone here that I watched maybe 10 minutes total of this show, and I walked away being like, that is 10 minutes that I will never get back of something that is so dumb. I walked away I don't want to say a spoiler, but I walked away and I looked at my roommate and I was like, this is what is going to happen in the end. And she was on like episode 2, and I thought, how do you not know that that's what's going to happen? And then, like, lo and behold, it happened. And then now she sleeps with her lights on because she's so freaked out and she doesn't want to get on social media, which is kind of a good thing, but you know, like, we all need to be aware. Tinder is just a place where people die.
Right. What you have said makes perfect sense to me, right? Mm-hmm. I think that it is problematic because there were a lot of people who were like, I heart Joe and stuff like that. And it's like, that is not the message. That's not the point. But I think it makes you be aware because, like, Beck is just, like, super, and not blaming her or whatever, but just, like, she, like most people, are not really thoughtful about their social media presence or things like that, and it comes back to bite her, right? And I think that's one of those things that's like a good wake-up call to be like, all right, who all can see my photos and location? Like,
exactly.
Can we talk about real quick, people are like, oh, share your location with me for Snapchat, and I'm just like,
why would I do that?
And then she's like, and then my friend who always asked me, the girl, she's like, yeah, because, like, look, I can pull it up and I see where he is, I see where she is, and I'm like, you know, do you not see how easily this can be, like, taken advantage of and abused?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know. I just think there's so many features like that. It's like, I can't think of any other, like, scenarios, like, or very many scenarios other than bad ones that this is
exactly
used.
All I have to say is make sure you close your curtains.
LOL.
All right.
That was
Katie again with the, yeah.
Close your curtains, guys. Katie, you have any finishing thoughts on you?
After we totally took that over.
No, it's all right. I'm going to move us on to music. Is that okay?
Yeah, I was going to say, Katie, share your music with us.
This is just a little bit of a song. I, for context, the reason I started listening to this song is I read an article about Phoebe Bridgers. I said that wrong. Phoebe Bridgers getting, coming out against Ryan Adams and their abusive relationship, and I decided I was going to go support her music because I support women, and this is a practical way to support women artists who are being exploited by the music industry. So I went and listened to the song, and it's quite great. I've been listening to it a lot. It's called Motion Sickness by Phoebe Bridgers. Corey gasped, and I don't know what that means.
Where have I heard that?
Some of our friends covered it at a concert. Yes.
Okay.
Were you there, Corey?
I wasn't there, but since then, Christopher, I think, has been singing.
Oh, okay. I was like, I don't know. You weren't there. I don't remember.
Yeah. So, okay, that's what I've heard. I'm sorry. But so you said Phoebe Bridgers is this female artist, and she was in an abusive relationship with Ryan Adams, and she sort of talked about it to, like, spread awareness and also to, like, get rid of him, broke up with him, everything like that.
Yeah.
So, and it wasn't, like, a campaign that anybody is doing. You're just listening to her music.
Yeah, I thought, you know, I read the article that she, and it was about her and another person. It was about Ryan Adams and in his presence in the music industry despite abusive and sexual misconduct type things.
So has any action been taken against him or anything?
I don't know. I just went to support her music, and I thought this is a practical way to do that. Support
I think that's
female
good
artists.
And awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's just like a lot of people are like, I'm going to support them by something that does not matter.
Right, yeah. So I thought this would be a practical way to do that, and really loved her music. So definitely playing the heck out of that song.
Dope. Well, that's cool. I actually really like that song.
Yeah, I like that song too.
Liz?
So I found a girl named Sage Charmaine. Anyway, don't really know how to say her last name. Charmaine. I may just be really uneducated.
Charmaine.
Illiterate. Charmaine, I guess. I don't know, but she looks like she would have a weird pronunciation of her name. So I feel like I'm not saying it right, just based off of her face.
Is she American or?
I don't think so, no. But see, I say I don't think so because I tried to look her up because I was like, who is this? She has two songs, this song and one other song. And also, all that I found under her name was, wait for it, Bougie Mom. That was the only thing that it said underneath her name. And I was like, nothing? Like, nothing on iTunes about, like, her? I don't know.
Where did you find her? On iTunes?
I found her on YouTube. It came up as a recommended song. And then also this is about to be kind of weird that I'm going to admit this, but I low-key am a fan of this, like, 15-year-old dancer named Casey Rice. And Casey Rice did... Right. I follow her on Instagram, and she's really good at dancing. And not that
we
I care
support
about that.
People.
Yeah.
At all ages.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, she knows what she's doing. And,
at all stages of existence.
But...
Yes.
She did a dance to this song, and then the song popped up on my recommended, and I was like, I've heard of this song, and then I clicked on it, and this is it, and it's pretty catchy in my opinion. So, yeah, that was like a really quick listen, but...
That was a fast listen, but I feel like I learned a lot.
I know, you did, and I don't know why I like it, because I've played it a lot, and like Samuel has listened to it and been like, can we please stop listening to this? And I've been like, no.
Sorry,
Samuel. I just
Samuel.
Keep playing it. She literally only has those two things, so... or like that song and then one other song. But I like it, and I think it's kind of catchy, and also it reminds me of summer, because the title is June.
I like it. I want it. No, I'm doing it wrong. What is it? I see it. I like it. I want it. I got it.
Yeah.
There it is.
There you go.
Excuse me? What?
It was a reference to Seven Rings.
Ariana Grande.
My favorite Grande.
Is that what you're going to play, Corey?
No, I'm not going to play Seven Rings.
Don't
again.
Say it like that.
No, I'm just playing. So I was going to talk about Colors videos, but then I realized something very important. So if you haven't heard, and I may have talked about this on another podcast, so sorry if I did, but oh well if I did. Colors videos are on YouTube. It's literally Colors, like you spell Colors. And there are a bunch of artists from all over the place, all over the world. Some of the songs are in English, some of them are not. Sometimes they're hip-hop, rap, pop, you know, any type of alternative folk. Literally anything you want. And it's really cool. It's really visually pleasing to watch because it's usually the artist is dressed in whatever and then there's a color background behind them. And they're also really well shot. So really cool videos. And a lot of times I'll just shuffle or like I'll just play the playlist of Colors videos. And I found a couple different songs. And then I've started adding those songs to a playlist on Spotify. And what I realized was the songs that I was going to play are not from actually Colors, but I'm going to play one that is from the Colors videos, and I'm going to play one that's not from the Colors videos. So I'm going to play two. I'm sorry.
Wow, when you started playing that, I definitely thought that you were pausing it and not, I got confused.
Okay. Well, that song is called Party, parentheses, Shutdown, and it's by 6K/Crush. It's two people collaborating. And it's, in case you didn't notice, it wasn't in English. Some of it wasn't English, but it's Korean. And I found them by playing a lot of songs on a playlist from Colors Videos, and it was like recommended after that from Spotify. But this song I actually got from the Colors Videos. Io non parlo mai, solamente se mi fai bere. Non ho bandiere, nemmeno barriere. Papà non fa lo sbirre, ma col banchiere. Sa bene, già c'era Babele. Se non ami commentare, tanto quanto tacere. Ok, hey, che mi rassicura, è dura. Passare per moda la mia cultura. Per l'ipocrisia che aumenta la paura. So, that song is called Lucifero by Nitro. And it's Italian. And I find that the Colors Videos especially, and a lot of them, especially the ones that are more danceable like this, are cool to like just be playing, and they look good, so I'll just play them on my TV while I have people over and we're just like hanging out if we're like doing something else.
So mood setting.
Yeah, it's really cool because I feel like that song you can just like nod your head to or tap your foot to, and it's just like setting, like you said, a mood. Mm-hmm. But the videos I think are really cool. It's great to experience new music, which I feel like is basically what we do here at Logaria, is we try to introduce people to more music. And especially if you don't mind the music not being in English. Like, I don't know any Italian, but I mean, I can pick out some words, but I don't know any to like know the song, but it's like really cool sounding.
Also, it's not distracting.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to distract you from like talking to people or something.
Non-English music is good. A lot of people listen to instrumentals when they want to study, but non-English music, aka music that you don't understand the lyrics to, is great for studying, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, because you don't have to, like, a lot of times if I listen to a song in English, especially if it's a song that I know, I want to sing along, or at least I'm tuned into it more,
mm-hmm.
instead of this song you can sort of play and you just literally can't, no matter how much you want to think about it, because you don't know what they're saying. So I would definitely recommend checking out the Colors videos and listen to the songs, whether they're in English or not, because they're definitely good ones on there either way. But with that, this has been episode something of Logaria.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for tuning in. And real quick, I want to shout out to...
What are we shouting?
I want to shout out to Isaac Hubbard, who actually made the visual that you looked at, the graphic for Logaria. He made it a long time ago, but we want to shout out to him now for that.
Hey, Isaac. Thanks.
Isaac.
Thanks so much, Isaac. And also follow us on at Logaria _pod to follow us on Twitter and keep up with all the latest Logaria info and knowledge that we're spitting out to you guys. Real quick, is there anything anybody's looking forward to coming out soon? Any albums? Actually, Chance the Rapper has an album coming out, I think, this summer. So that's cool. Anything else?
No.
There's this movie called If Beale Street Could Talk. I don't know when it's coming out, but when I saw Glass recently, it was, we saw the trailer for, I think that was the movie that I was watching. But anyway.
It looks good.
If Beale Street Could Talk. Have you seen it?
No.
Okay. If Beale Street Could Talk, it looks.
Is it out right now?
No, I don't think so. But it should be coming out soon. And it's about Civil Rights era. It's like a family in Civil Rights era, and there's some like issues that happen. I don't know. I didn't learn a lot from the trailer.
That's it. That's the entire movie.
There you go.
The issue happened to a family. But yeah, so thanks for tuning in to Logaria.
Logaria.
And we'll catch you guys next time.
Do, 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 do.
Logaria.